Hello, and welcome to episode 51 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a podcast about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. I am Keith Carter, a former Clevelander but lifelong Cavs fan. My co-host and the brains of this operation is Arnav Chabra, a graduate student at MIT living in Boston. How's it going, Arnav?
It's going pretty well. How about you?
It's going okay. That wasn't a super fun game to watch tonight.
It was fun for like 3.5 quarters.
Yeah.
The second half of the fourth quarter was pretty bad, I would say. But
it felt a little bit like that earlier game against Washington where the Cavs were behind the whole game and then they came back and I kept waiting for that carrot, but they never were able to reach out and get it.
I think the difference in that game was it wasn't a second night of back-to-back and like LeBron was making a lot of threes and he basically fueled the comeback. That didn't happen tonight, so.
Irving missed a lot of shots in the fourth quarter.
And just as a reminder, like Irving was really bad in the regulation game against Washington early on too. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was terrible. He was amazing after LeBron fouled out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, he did a good facsimile of the terrible again tonight.
Yeah, he was bad. And he wasn't just bad offensively. I think where the problems were was on the defensive end. He was just getting completely lit up by John Wall.
Yeah, so the Cavs lost 127-115 tonight. John Wall was 14 of 21. He had 37 points on 21 shots, 11 assists, and 3 turnovers.
And Irving, great defense.
Yeah, the great defense. And Irving, on the other side, had 23 points on 23 shots. He was 8 of 23, 4 assists, 1 turnover.
And it's not just 23 shots. He took 7 free throws.
Right.
You can add another 3 possessions. So it's 23 points on 26 shooting possessions.
Right. Yeah, Irving just didn't play very well tonight. How much was he guarding Wall directly?
For most of it, because Shumpert didn't play, the guy that they think is a lockdown defender. Yeah, it was just Kyrie pretty much one-on-one whenever he was in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty brutal. That really throws into relief sort of the issue with Irving this year. He's been sort of a virtuoso on offense most of the year, up and down a little bit, but mostly very good. But on defense, he's one of the worst starting point guards in the league defensively.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we see from the eye too.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just like one-on-one because he couldn't keep up with the Wall one-on-one, which is fine because like most guys can't. But anytime a screen came, he would just disappear. Like Kyrie was nowhere to be found. And then the Cavs, for whatever reason, kept giving up easy switches. So then they would switch out Kevin onto John Wall. There's nothing Kevin can do on John Wall, right?
Right.
Like it's not his fault that he has to guard the quickest guy in the league or the second or third quickest guy in the league.
Right. Yeah, it was frustrating watching John Wall eviscerate the Cavs defense. He's a good player.
And he pushes it in transition really
frequently. He does. I felt like a genius. I was getting lunch with my girlfriend before the game, and I was telling her, like, well, okay, so we're going to be watching this guy named John Wall tonight, and he's, you know, really pushes the ball a lot in transition. And then, what was he in the first quarter? 8 of 8 or something? And
10 of 10 to start the game.
Yeah, 10 of 10. I mean, just, and just sprinting up and down the court every time they got a rebound. He's tough to deal with in transition. And, you know, look, the Cavs transition defense, is this still current? They're the worst transition team defensively?
Yeah.
Okay. Certainly it hasn't improved lately. So if it was the worst a week ago, I'm sure it still is now. The Wizards are great in transition, you know, led by John Wall. So maybe you could.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Sure. You know, the Cavs were number one in transition defense in the playoffs last year of the 16.
And it was a dominant transition defense. It was they only give up like 0.97 or something ridiculous points per possession.
So giving up 0.97 in transition.
I mean, LeBron is like I've mentioned several times. Is like the best transition defender I've ever seen when he's locked in.
But yeah,
he hasn't been locked in this season.
Sure, but can the difference be entirely that? Like, is everyone else just dog crap?
Everyone else also runs back more. They go for offensive rebounds less. Because they also miss less shots, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
If you miss less shots, the other team has to start a new possession. But if you miss the shot, they get a long rebound. That goes back. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
Like today, one of my issues was LeBron kept going for offensive rebounds.
Yes.
And even Kyrie did that a little bit. And then they would just fall down trying to go for it.
Yeah.
And then the other end, it's John Wall running in transition against Kyle Korver or something.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do is give them a 5-on-4 or a 4-on-3, anything with numbers, right?
Exactly.
How did you feel about the officiating tonight?
My only issue, I think they were bad for both teams, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My only issue was that they kept calling these fouls after the whistles after the play happened. So like they would wait to see if the basket went in or not, and then decide if the foul had to be called. That makes no sense to me. If a foul happened, call it. Who cares if the basket goes in?
Yeah, I guess I'm conceptually okay with the, well, let's see if the ball goes in, but they were late even with that heuristic. Like there were four or five times tonight where like, you know, the other team was already like going down the floor before the whistle blew. And, you know, that is a tendency to make the players go nuts. Oh, no, I agree. Look, obviously, a foul is a foul and they should call it immediately regardless.
I know they do it in practice, but like theoretically shouldn't be the case, right?
In practice, they try to like sort of, I think what they're trying to do is like legislate a fair game. So, you know, the whether the ball goes in, if it was a soft foul, whether or not the ball goes in matters to them. And look, they shouldn't do it that way, but that's the way they do.
Yeah, if it's a soft foul, then they will only call it if the ball doesn't go in. But if it's I see the benefits, but like, again, theoretically speaking, that shouldn't be the case, right?
Right. And even, I mean, I think all NBA officials do it, but tonight was just, I mean, everyone noticed it. The announcers noticed it. I noticed it. You noticed it. I guess that's everyone in this particular sentence. But yeah, it was pretty egregious. But yeah, I'm just looking at it. The free throw difference was 26 to 27. So, you know, it certainly wasn't one-sided in any way. Do you think Cavs? Well, go ahead.
There were some bad calls against the Wizards at the end, too. I think it was sort of time-dependent. Like, the first couple of quarters, it was bad against the Cavs. Then it was bad against the Wiz. Then it was sort of bad against both at the same time.
Yeah. Should we worry about the Cavs rebounding? So the Wizards out-rebounded the Cavs 40 to 32 tonight.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because apparently, at the press conference, Tyronn Lue just said the following. He said, "We have something to fix our rebounding. We just can't use it right now." What do you think that means?
Huh.
Is he talking about some sort of scheme that he has to rebound better in the playoffs? Is it just like LeBron's going to play better and rebound better? But he had 11 rebounds tonight.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, look, I think the highlight of this show needs to be this narrative that the Cavs are just going to flip a switch at some point. So maybe we should segue into that now. But
sure.
Look, the narrative the whole year has been, and really last year as well, has been, well, you know, the Cavs aren't in playoff mode. And miraculously last year, that turned out to be the case, especially in the conference finals and in the NBA finals. The Cavs just played like a completely different team than their regular season selves. And we've been sort of sold this story that that's what's going on this year as well. We know that LeBron, you know, modulates his energy usage. If anything, he's probably doing it more this year because he's playing more minutes and he's a year older. So we know like LeBron has this extra level that he's planning on going to. I just don't know, like, are players better at doing that than the players on the other teams? Because obviously, you know, the other teams would also aspire to sort of rest a little bit during the regular season. Right. So, you know, it has to be that we're able to dial it up, ratchet up more than the other teams. And I don't know.
Yeah. One thing I should mention is Kyrie has pretty much always been bad on back-to-backs. So, like, you can go back, like, 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, whatever you want to look at. Like, even this season, his true shooting percentage on back-to-backs is, like, 52. But otherwise, he's shooting, like, 60, 61%.
Wow. There are no back-to-backs in the playoffs, of course.
There are no back-to-backs. So, that should help a lot. That should also help other guys like LeBron, even though, like, it doesn't show up in his true shooting percentage. His defense is, you know, visually bad if you watch it on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah. Did you notice at the end of the game, they, you know, there was a timeout late and they panned over to the bench and LeBron was just sort of, his head wasn't in his hands, but he just looked physically beat.
He was exhausted. He's played 40 minutes two nights in a row. And one of those happened against a team that likes to run so much.
Right. This is the March time period when we were promised that the Cavs would start resting LeBron more, of course.
So that's not happening as we kind of assumed at the time too.
Yeah.
It would help that if they played better defense, I think, then they could cut his minutes down or whatever. But they've essentially given up whatever defensive effort they can muster up for extra minutes for LeBron, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe what's going on, I think that's like the pure optimist view here, is that one of the reasons why the Cavs offense is defense is so bad is because LeBron in particular is trying less on that end than normal. And the reason why is not sort of a desire thing. It's that, like, look, he knows he's leading the NBA in minutes per game. And if he's going to go 100% at all times, he's not going to be able to do that. So maybe he, maybe it all, you know, cascades down from LeBron and the defense is bad because LeBron is, you know, coasting a little bit on that end. That's possible, I guess.
Right.
It's not satisfying, but it's possible.
Yeah. And the only thing I would say is, what if he was playing less minutes and the Cavs were trying on defense? Do you think that would be more optimal? To some extent, nobody expects him to go, you know, NBA Finals level defense right now. But they could. They don't have to be the worst defensive team. I mean, they're playing like right. The worst defensive team in the league right now. They have the 29th ranked defense since the All-Star break. Guess who's 30? The Los Angeles Lakers, who are like visibly right. Tanking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Lakers are intentionally being bad on defense. They may as well like not even run down to that end.
Right. Like, it's one thing to like try less and, you know, not go full out, but it's another thing to be league's worst at something. They're worse than the freaking New York Knicks.
Yeah. They're bad. LeBron James's defensive RPM last year was 3.3. This year it is 1 point something. Like, it's 1.2 this year. So at least from a like number standpoint, LeBron has been worse defensively. Now, whether that's on purpose or not is a topic of some debate. I do too. It's just, yeah, that's such a precipitous fall that, yeah, one wonders. Yeah, I'm
concerned. No reason to believe that LeBron's not going to be there. I have no reason to believe that LeBron's not going to be there come playoff time. It's just the other guys that I worry about. I think Kyrie will be there too for the most part.
Yep.
I think Kevin will be fine. He has looked the same. He just isn't getting enough shots if you look at it. He was actually very efficient tonight.
He was. He's always efficient. He's always sneaky efficient.
Yeah, he's been efficient. He's rebounding the ball really well for the most part, even though he didn't have that many today. I think LeBron was sort of stealing his defensive rebounds. But since he's come back, our rebounding has been better. It hasn't been ideal, but it has been better.
Oh, yeah.
The one guy that I'm worried about is Tristan Thompson. He's looked pretty bad for the last couple of months.
Yeah, there's so many things I want to glom onto here. Okay, so yeah, Tristan. Let's get to Tristan in a second. Let me take a note here, Tristan. So Love has looked – Love's numbers have been pretty good. He looks a little bit stiff to me. Like, there was a play today where LeBron did a pass across court. It was too high, and Love basically didn't jump to get it. It went out of bounds. It was a crazy pass, and, like, I don't know if he would have been able to get it even if he jumped.
It was a bad pass.
It was a bad pass. But I'm trying to give, like, a specific anecdote where Love was looking a little bit stiff to me. And there have been other times – look, obviously, my eye thinking he looks 10% more stiff is there's nothing scientific about that, but keep an eye on that, and then maybe we'll talk about it next show. But his numbers are there, and he's still efficient offensively. He had a couple switches tonight defensively that weren't fair, right? Like, he ends up on Wall or Beal, and it's like, well,
right,
what you'd expect to happen there. But yeah, I think Love will be ready defensively for the playoffs, to the extent that he gets ready defensively. But yeah, I think JR and Shumpert have to be.
Yeah, that's a problem that no one's talking. Well, some people are talking about it, but the Cavs aren't getting anything from their shooting guards.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Like, JR hasn't been shooting well at all, even though he was okay tonight from that perspective. Shumpert's, I'm not buying whatever 3-point shooting percentage he's selling.
Right.
defensively, Shumpert's been worse than JR, which is saying something. Korver's actually been pretty bad defensively, especially since he got back from his knee issue. He looks really slow right now to me.
He's
been fine
slow
offensively. Yeah.
I know his first game back, I noticed when he was running, he was limping a little bit. He has looked better the last two games. So, yeah, I think he's going to be okay. He had a swollen foot or some. I can't remember what they called it.
Something with the knee or maybe with the foot. I don't know.
I think it was
They've all
foot.
Had like knee issues at some point. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Who knows?
Whatever, it's a cascade. Something in the leg. In the NHL, they would call it a lower body injury. But yeah, he's looked a little bit slow. But look, you're never going to get much on defense out of him. He's tall. But
JR
and Shumpert need to do something. Sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. And to go back to your original point about why we should expect Cavs to have a bigger differential in terms of their regular season versus their playoff performance.
Yeah.
I think it's because they're the if not the oldest team in playoff contention. So those types of teams usually tend to do pretty poorly on second night of back-to-backs and sort of in these regular season games, but they tend to be much better come playoff time. So,
yeah, I think that's a good point. All of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, right, are also hungry and going all out every night to get those wins. Like, they need to get wins for playoffs.
I mean, like, John Wall was going all out tonight. Everyone.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, there was no question about whether he was trying tonight or not. I do think the Cavs were trying pretty hard tonight. In phases, maybe. I guess the intensity lacked at some points.
Also, something that hasn't been mentioned is, like, Lou's rotations have been pretty bad. He's playing really odd lineups. So, okay, why do you think Derek Williams is not getting minutes?
Well,
he played pretty well when he did. The first 10 games before he got that contract, he was great.
He did, but JR wasn't playing then.
Sure. And you can still get minutes for him. You can look at this. JR played 31 minutes tonight. That's fine, I guess. He could have gotten some of LeBron's minutes. He could have gotten some of Kyle's minutes. He could have gotten some of Darren Williams' minutes.
Well, first off, how is LeBron going to get to 40 minutes if other people play?
Right.
Secondly, Shumpert didn't even play tonight, right? You would expect, in a night where one of the regulars is out, that Derek Williams could get some time. Look, I am not sold on Derek Williams, so I don't...
I'm fine with just trying. I mean, these other guys aren't playing well. It's not like Shumpert's playing well.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I just don't think that there's any signal to be found in Derek Williams' play. I think he's a mediocre player.
But one thing is,
if he ends up being our ninth guy in the playoffs, we have other problems. But for now, when we're trying to control people's minutes, he should definitely play.
Yeah, and another thing that is definite is that he is athletic, right? And LeBron, surrounded by athletic guys, is usually a good thing because he'll find you if you're trying to run to the rim. These other guys aren't that athletic. I mean, Kevin isn't rolling to the rim. Tristan does it, but he's so bad in layups that it's not really that useful sometimes.
Yeah.
JR, we're going to get back really to him in a minute. Yeah.
I guess my main concern... So I have a number of concerns here, but my main concern right now is about JR. Like, he's been bad even before the injury. He's been worse since he came back. Like, what reasons for... I mean, is he just going to suddenly get better in the playoffs like Irving did last year? Is that... I mean, that's really all we're left with here. There's 10 games left.
I'm not buying that for him. Irving is more of a sort of a rhythm guy. He gets to dribble around a lot, so he can find it, but I'm not seeing it with JR. He also just doesn't get enough shots to find any sort of rhythm, so...
Yeah.
I think he'll be what he is right now.
Are you okay with him playing? I'm glad he played 30 minutes. I want him to get a lot of minutes and, like, to the extent as possible, shake the rust off. I don't want him to overplay so he gets re-injured, like, but assuming his knee feels okay, or his thumb... Yeah, actually, his knee should be fine. It was just that he broke his thumb. Assuming he feels fine, I think they should just keep pouring minutes down that funnel and hoping, that they can distill something out of it. It's just frustrating in the short term because he's not playing very well.
Also, I'd like for him to attack a little more because right now his, like, three-point attempt rate is up in, like, the 80s, which is really, really high. And last year it was, like, 60-something.
Which was the highest of his career, right?
I don't know if it was the highest of his career, but it was still pretty high. It was pretty much up there. 80% of your attempts being threes is really high. I think he's not
putting it on the floor at all.
Right. I think he's shot 15 free throws in 760-something minutes this season.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
He's not putting it on the floor. And that when you do that, like when you become one-dimensional offensively, it becomes pretty easy to guard, especially because he's not like Corbin runs around screens. He's just sort of standing and shooting. That's pretty easy to guard.
Yeah. Yeah, they need at least a bluff there.
Exactly. Like, try something else once in a while. Like, roll to the rim. LeBron will find you.
All right. Well, JR, if you're listening.
He had one rebound in 31 minutes.
Yeah. He just looks a little bit slow.
And he just gets devastated, I think, whenever his shot doesn't go in. That's it.
He does. He's very human, right? He's sort of fun to watch because, there's some real joy in his game when he's playing well. And when he's playing poorly, you can really see it on his face. And it makes, at least for me, it makes him fun for me to follow as a fan.
But it's also frustrating at the same time.
It is. He's not a robot like some of the other guys.
It's hard to rely on him, I think. That's my concern, right? Like, he was great in the playoffs last season. He had like a 60 true shooting percentage, a very low turnover rate, and those are usually good combos from like complementary players. But
yeah,
this season, like, I don't see him coming back to that form at all.
So I mean, he was such a huge part of the team last year. I mean, he was sort of underappreciated. I remember, I think we talked in the preseason about what we thought. It was before JR signed, like what we thought the Cavs odds were without him. And, you know, you thought they were basically zero. I thought they were pretty low. The team has changed a little bit. Where they're getting a lot.
Kyle, which right. can do some of what JR does, but I still think they're pretty low if he doesn't come back to decent form.
I agree. Like, if we can't get JR playing at, you know, basically a quasi elite level at shooting guard, I mean, in some ways he outplayed Clay in the finals last year. It's going to be tough. And
Tristan's been bad.
I don't see that coming. Yeah. All right. So should we segue to Tristan here? So I'll just give my short 30-second rant on Tristan. Tristan, to my eye, obviously needs some rest. Didn't they actually say he has knee tendonitis?
Yeah, but they also said that he was getting better, but I don't believe them anymore.
I don't trust anything they say, right? So look, if there's any question, just sit him out for a week, but they're not going to do that. It's irritating.
Also, Lou just said that the team has fixes for rebounding and defense that they can't use yet.
All right. Oh, I see. Okay, Lou. Did you see LeBron's interview where he said he's going to shoot 80% from the line in the playoffs?
Oh, I didn't see that, no.
Oh, great.
He's never shot 80% from line in the playoffs, yeah. So that's just not happening.
And also, free throw shooting is not something that, like, playoff intensity makes better.
Yeah, free throw shooting it's going to be his career. Free throw percentage is way more predictive than anything else.
Yes, yes.
Which is like 70%.
If he shoots 80%, let's say he somehow manages that, I'm going to be so amazed. Like, I'll be like, well,
let's put it this way. If he shoots 80% from the free throw line in the playoffs, that means the Cavs got eliminated quickly because it's probably a small sample
right.
size.
Right. He went 16 of 20 in the first round.
Exactly. And that means Cavs are done. So.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I mean, don't you think, I'm sure you agree that the Tristan Thompson games played streak is not important in the scheme of things.
Oh, it should not be. It doesn't matter. Who cares? No one's going to remember this. Yeah. Do you think people remember DeAndre Jordan's game streak when they look at his career? No, they're going to care about what he does in the playoffs. If Tristan has a huge playoff game like he did in game 6 of the finals, that's going to supersede anything else that he does right now.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Every time the Cavs are on national television, the national announcers mention the game's played streak. I think it's something he feels as part of his identity. And I understand why Tristan Thompson wants to keep it going. But it shouldn't be up to Tristan Thompson. It should be up to the team, sports staff, and the doctors to say, like, look, dude, we think that you will be playing significantly better if you take a night off here, or if you play fewer minutes or whatever it is. And he should be like, man, I really don't want to do that. Like, is there any way? And they should be like, no, this is for the best. But they should communicate with him and explain it to him and apologize, but acknowledge it.
Right. It's great to want to play, but if you're doing it for a streak and you're compromising the long-term benefit that you can add for your team, then I think it's a bad decision.
Yeah. I've sort of come around on this after talking to you. You know, so I've been complaining about LeBron's minutes as loudly as I can for 3 years now. And a lot of good it's done. But I used to blame LeBron for it. I was like, you know, oh, LeBron should be smarter and, like, you know what his minutes are. LeBron and Tristan Thompson should want to go out and play 48 minutes a game to do whatever they can to help the team win. They shouldn't lie to the training staff about how they're feeling. They should be honest about that. But to the extent they're not lying to the training staff should have good information, and they should be like, you know, look, guys, like, we need to, like, cut your minutes because you're going to be worse down the road unless we do this. So, I mean, I blame the players a tiny bit, you know, 5% or 10%, but, like, most of the load has to be on the training staff and the management staff and the coach. Right. You want your players to want to play.
And sports athletes specifically tend to be, you know, alpha male, especially.
Yeah, they have a lot of pride.
Yeah. So these guys have a huge ego. And their ego will get hurt if they see their team lose while they're sitting down. So they want to play as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron James is like one of the most competitive guys, like, whatever, in the history of people. Like, that guy really cares and really wants to win. And, like, expecting him to, like, have the medium and long term in mind you know, and when there's 5 minutes left in a close game is just unreasonable. Like, it needs to be somebody above that level forcing him to sit. So,
and he's probably better than most at it, too, at keeping the long term in mind, which you can see with, like, sort of coasting in the regular season. So that's something, like, we shouldn't expect that out of Tristan.
No, we shouldn't. I mean, he's sort of like someone with, like, a, you know, personality disorder self-medicating, right? Like, LeBron is self-coasting by, you know, he's controlling his load by not playing his hardest. I think he should play 31 minutes at a higher level, but he's not going to do that. So here we are.
Yeah. Yep. Who else? Oh, yeah, with Tristan, are you worried about his defense? Because it's been pretty poor, I would say, for the most part. His on-off rating has been terrible. And it's not just, like, at this point, it's not just, you know, a small sample size. And it's not just an artifactual thing either. Like, I watch him play. He's not rotating that well. He'll get a couple of, you know, big blocks, whatever. He's not, even when he switches out, he's been getting destroyed lately a lot. I think he needs a lot of rest.
I think so too. I think, let's be honest here, it's not coming. So here's what could happen. The Cavs could, we should talk about their schedule in a minute here, but they could do something where they used to do this with LeBron. He would not play like the final two games of the season. And what happens is, it ends up where like LeBron gets 10 days off. And maybe they'll do that with, you know, a bunch of the starters and they'll create a situation where they get 10 days off. Now, I'm not a sports medicine doctor. I don't know how much good 10 days off can do, but it might be the case that that'll do these guys a lot of good. And this effect of flipping the switch is just that they'll be less fatigued. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm a little worried that they're going to be sort of at the edge of getting the first seed or keeping the first seed. And they're going to want to play those last couple of games with LeBron on the team. So I'm kind of either low-key hoping that they just lose the first seed completely and it's not... and it's
they end up three games out or whatever.
Yeah, and then it's whatever. And at that point, like, you just start resting LeBron. Or the Celtics just start crashing and burning, which I just don't see happening, so...
The Celtics are, what, they're one game back in the loss column now?
Yeah, and we should also keep in mind the Wizards are three games back in the loss column and the Raptors are four games back in the loss column. And they're going to win tonight, so they're going to be four games back in the loss column.
They are. The Raptors are without Lowry. So.
And they've been playing well without him, or decently well. Their defense has improved a lot because they've added new pieces.
They have, and they don't have a... Yeah, Lowry's good at getting steals, and so his DRPM's pretty good, but it's the... he's pretty short.
But he's also good offensively.
Yeah, he's great offensively. I just mean, like, one of the reasons why their defense is so improved is because they might be getting other personnel on the court that's better defensively than Lowry. I'm not sure. I don't watch them enough to have a strong opinion there.
Yeah.
So the Cavs' schedule coming up
is bad.
It's tough. They play the Spurs on Monday in San Antonio, and then they get 2 days off before they play the Bulls in Chicago. That Bulls game should be a win. They've been bad against the Bulls this year, but the Bulls are falling apart.
Yeah, like Dwayne Wade is out, who's been a big part of, you know, their wins against us.
Right.
I do think that should be a win.
And then they play the Sixers. That should be a win.
Well, it's second out of a back-to-back, so you can never say with these guys, but it should be, yes.
Sure. But if ever there was a winnable back-to-back, it's at home versus the Sixers.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then Pacers and Magic. Both those teams are good. The Pacers are playing okay lately. The Magic aren't very good.
The Celtics game was probably a loss, second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of a back-to-back at Boston. That's probably a loss. So that, I mean, that already is, that puts the Celtics one up in the loss column. That's right.
And then the Celtics gain another game, right? Half a game if they win against us. Yeah, I don't see us getting the first seed anymore. I think it's maybe like a 30-40% chance that we keep the first.
I think 538 before tonight's game had the Cavs at 55% chance to win the East. Is that right?
Yeah, let's see what it is right now. Yeah, you can keep talking.
Has it updated yet? Or does it update? Yeah, so...
It does update pretty good.
And the 538 algorithm doesn't know anything about momentum or...
rest or whatever.
You know, player personnel or rest or any human heuristic. So, I mean, I would have said...
Now.
Yeah, wow. That's a pretty precipitous drop. That actually feels about right. I think the Cavs have like a 35-40% chance of winning
the East. Yeah, I mean, they're only one game behind. They have a much tougher schedule than the Celtics do. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I feel a lot more comfortable with the 2 seed than I do with the 3 seed or the 4 seed. I'm not really that concerned about the Celtics. The Celtics don't scare me as much. Like, I think we match up well against them.
I'm way more scared of the Wizards, to be honest with you. I think they're sort of like mini Cavs. Like, they shoot well. They have, like, you know, sort of a LeBron light in John Wall.
Yep. They've played very well against us this year.
Yeah, and then they have elite shooters, right? Just trying to, like, Bradley Beal can shoot.
Beal and Porter. Beal and Porter are both having terrific, terrific years.
They try hard. They run in transition. Like, they remind me a lot of the Cavs, actually, in playoff mode especially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we would just have to hope that the Cavs have another level. They should beat the Wizards. They, you know, on paper are a better team, but it's not a great matchup. Austin Carr said at the end of tonight's game that, yeah, the Cavs better hope they get home court if they face the Wizards.
I don't know. Their home court is actually not that great, but Cavs also just play terrible on the road.
Yeah, they have a notoriously bad fan base. I don't know if they're a bad fan base, but they don't show up to games as much. So, Cavs have a tough schedule.
I'd like the first seed. I'll take
the first seed. I would like it too, everything else being equal. But everything else being equal, I would rather the Cavs get rest.
So, yeah, and I don't think it's even... I don't want to say it's not possible. I don't think it's probable anymore. So they might as well start resting, guys. But you also... Because the problem is they'll... Only, what, 3 games in the loss column behind Washington. Like, that's probably out of reach, but it's not completely out of the realm that Washington could catch up. Because Cavs can lose 3 in a row. We've seen them do that all the time.
They go into these swoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we expect any LeBron subtweets today? I can see this happening now.
Yeah, I can see it happen. He's got to get him in now before he goes into social media blackout mode.
That's true. Yeah, like, I looked at the Wizards schedule. They play the Lakers. They're going to win that. They play the Clippers. Might lose that. Jazz, they could lose that. Warriors, they probably can lose that. Then everything else is easy after that. Hornets, Knicks, Heat, Pistons, Heat.
Yeah. Ugh, this is depressing. look, it's not all bad. Like, the Cavs are almost completely healthy now. Iman Shumpert didn't play tonight. What did he have, knee soreness or something?
Yeah. He was like a last-minute scratch.
Okay.
Well, he also doesn't matter, so let's be honest.
Well, I like the depth, play,
in case somebody gets injured, but, like, he's not going to be the difference maker in a playoff series.
Yeah, I know. It's just a bummer that, like, we're basically indifferent between Korver and JR and Shumpert and Jefferson right now. Like, the hope is that, like, one of those guys sort of rises and...
We have nothing. We're getting nothing from our guards, shooting guards, specifically.
Yeah.
One thing that's sort of... that's been sort of promising is the pick and roll chemistry between Deron Williams and LeBron. I think that is a pretty solid play, and they've been going to it. Because, like, LeBron is one of the best rollers to the basket because he finishes so well and he's so athletic. Mm-hmm. So that play could sort of bolster bench units, like, you know, that Delhi LeBron lineup did in the Toronto series and also in the Piston series.
The Cavs bench has generally been better since they acquired Deron Williams, which, of course, it makes sense. But remember how bad the bench was for the middle third of the season? I mean, they were just
and
unable
now it's just
to get,
like,
anything done.
Starter level defense has just dropped off because Kyrie isn't trying, LeBron isn't trying, Love is looks slower.
Yeah,
Korver was injured for a while.
Yeah, I'm eager to get to the playoffs, man. Like, I'm tired of.
I'm just done, like, worrying about them.
It's just the same story every day. Like, oh, they're playing too many minutes. They're not trying. They're not winning quite enough.
and the more games that they have left, is the higher chance of injuries too. So,
right. Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention?
No. Do you think predictions? What do you think? You think Cavs make it to the finals this time?
Yes, I think the Cavs make the NBA finals.
How many games will they lose on the way? Last time they only lost 2. Actually, last 2 times they've only lost 2, so.
Yep. Yeah, they lost 2 to Chicago, that's right. I think they would, I mean, look, obviously the smart thing to say is they'll lose more than 2, and I definitely think that. I think the East opponents are a little bit tougher this year, but I'm not really worried about anyone we would play in the first round. You know, they'll
like
probably lose.
Maybe like the Bucks or something. The Bucks, like, give us some trouble defensively, but, like, I just don't see them.
The Bucks are too. They have too many injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried about them earlier. Like, I thought the Bucks were going to be really good this year. And indeed,
I mean, they might be next year.
They might be. I mean, they should have Middleton Jabari back for the whole season. So,
and Middleton's been really good since he got back.
Yes, he has. He's leading the NBA in mid-range shooting. I know that because Kyrie's number two.
Yeah, and because Fred McLeod keeps pointing that out.
I know. It's like his favorite. Like, every time Kyrie makes a jump shot, he mentions it.
My prediction is that they're going to start off slow. And they're going to, the first round series is either going to go to like 6 or 7 games, and then they'll get better from there. Then the next, they'll look much better in the second round, and they'll look great come conference finals time.
I like that. That's a positive view. And they would roll in with momentum into the finals in this scenario.
Well, the bad part about that prediction is that you could possibly lose in the first round, but yeah.
Right. What was it? It was on Dunked On. I was this week or late last. They were talking about the Heat, and I think it was Danny was saying that he thinks that the Heat could pose a problem for the Cavs in the first round. He doesn't like the Cavs matchup against Whiteside and, you know, the Waiters Island stuff. Waiters has been playing well lately.
Well, Waiters is injured, so I don't know if he's even.
He's injured now. He has an ankle injury, but he would be back potentially for a first round series, I think.
No, I don't worry about Dion Waiters, to be honest with you.
He doesn't keep you up at night.
The people I'm worried about is Goran Dragic. He runs in transition. Kyrie jogs in transition. He doesn't run, so that's a problem. What's his face? James Johnson has been really good, surprisingly. Apparently, since he lost weight, he's been playing well.
He is, and he plays great defense. And nobody's like necessarily a problem for LeBron, but he can bother LeBron, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Other than that, Whiteside can be an issue, but I think he's too easy to frustrate and sort of drag out of the paint.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's just his rebounding is a concern, and his interior defense is a concern.
No, I don't see the Heat posing any problems. I think the Bucks probably might even pose more problems than the Heat would.
Okay.
The Heat play really well. There? Heat are like sort of the ideal, you know, regular season kind of team where like they play the right way, they try really hard, you know, they shoot a lot of threes, they generate a lot of corner threes, and that stuff is great. But come playoff time, like unless you have great players to generate those types of shots, it gets much harder. Like Cavs will step up their defense. It's just a question of like whether it can go from number 30 to like number 10 or something.
Right. Yeah, I think they were number 22 at the end of the regular season last year. Is that right? Or were they top 10? Wait, ooh, no, Cavs. Sorry. No, the Cavs are 22 this year. Sorry, the Cavs are the 22nd worst defense.
They were number 10 at the end of the season last year.
Okay. And then they were great in the playoffs. So the question is, can they go from being much worse during the regular season to great again? And look, we just don't know.
And by great talk about playoffs, it, they were still like number 9 or something in the playoffs, but you have to remember that you're playing against better offensive teams. So like that number 9 effectively is like number 5 in the regular season or something. So
right.
Yeah, they did improve from like, let's say 10 to 5. But can they go from 22 or 23 or 25 or whatever to 10 to 5 or something? Right.
Yeah. Their offense is a little better this year. So their defense doesn't need to be quite as good.
Exactly. So like maybe instead of going to 5, they can go to 10 or something. Right.
Right. Last two teams in the East look like they're going to make the playoffs are Indiana and Atlanta. Indiana would be interesting to watch. I don't necessarily worry about them.
Wait, Atlanta is number 8 now?
Atlanta's the 5 seed right as we speak. They've lost 6 in a row, but they're the 5 seed.
Oh, have they? Oh, wow. Yeah. I haven't been watching that. Could they go down to... Actually, yeah, they could easily be the 8 seed.
Look, the 5 seed is 37 and 35. The 8 seed is 35 and 37. So, like, there's a lot of jumbling going on down there.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? So we could see, let's say, either it's going to be Atlanta, Milwaukee, Indiana, or Miami. Which of those would you like to face?
I think Atlanta.
Yeah, just because they destroyed them in the past.
And then Indiana, and then Miami, then Milwaukee is the one I would least like to face.
I think I agree with that. It also doesn't sound like we're going to play Milwaukee. They were 8-2 in their last 10 games.
Huh. Yeah, look at that. And they've won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, Milwaukee will probably end up as the 5 seed.
5 seed.
Based on our cursory looking at the standings right now. I think it'll be Miami or Indiana. Or
it's
maybe Atlanta.
Crazy how much fluctuation is about to happen in these last 2 weeks, essentially.
Yeah.
Even on the other side.
The Cavs could end up as the 4 seed.
Yeah. Even on the other side, well, probably not, but I would say there's like a 2% chance that happens, but yeah. On the other side, if you look at like Houston's pretty far ahead. Utah, Clippers, Oklahoma City, and Memphis are all jumbled up right now.
Yep. Yeah, especially in the loss column, they're all very close. Memphis is always surprisingly good. Like, I don't ever respect them enough.
And they're always decent in the playoffs, right? Like, they play whatever they ran a basketball.
Gasol and Conley are elite players.
Gasol's a good player. Conley's a really good player. Tony Allen, I mean, he's not that good anymore, but he used to be really good.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. Yeah, the West is sort of messed up. Anyway, all right, we should probably wrap this up. I want to talk about the MVP thing again, but let's wait till our next episode to do that. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention other than that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @cavalyticsnba. Thanks for listening, and go Cavs!